Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous bread habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Almost. It's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
So today we're going to do a mini.
Mini ep. I still want to do a little theme song for a mini ep. Do you think
we should?
Like, I want to do Baby Bottle Pop, but not get copyright infringement.
I want to do like Baby Shark.
Ooh.
Mini ep.
That's actually probably a better idea.
Yeah, we're going to get to it anyway.
Did you see Ring Pops are back?
No. Yeah. Why are they back?
I don't know. They're like having like some resurgence or something.
So love that
I was thinking
for us.
About that the other day. I want Baby Bottle Pops to come back.
Love. Me too.
You know what I love? Those little dippers.
Pop Rocks.
Ooh. I have Pop Rocks from you in my cabinet.
Remember
the Japanese party you had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also found some that I guess I bought for like a Galentine's or Valentine's gathering, but like probably 2 or 3 years ago. Oh. And I was going to bring them to our friend's bachelorette yesterday,
ooh,
but
that's
they
a
expired.
Good idea.
So
oh,
I
damn.
Threw them out. I was like, these are great. I'm going to bring
them.
I'm
sure
them.
Those and
things
never like, expire. Except you,
I know,
you get
I know.
Like acid burns for the rest of
yeah,
your
yeah,
life.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't want to get anyone sick. So I just threw them out.
Okay. Well, today we're doing a little mini ep on our, it's basically a recap, dig in ep of our friendship breakup.
We're going back to one of our, I would say most popular topics that we covered. Probably our most listened to episode too.
Yeah, based on the analytics, it's probably one of our most listened to. Yeah.
So it's the friendship breakup.
Did you guys
one.
Also listen? Just kidding.
Can you listen to everything?
Listen no. to
But it was interesting because I posted on my personal Instagram and so did you, and we both got a lot of really like personal stories from people that just wanted to talk about a friendship breakup.
Yeah, one and girl said that this is every woman's Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so
that
true.
Is it's like so true.
Yeah, it's like the thing that we think about all the time. I was talking about it with a friend yesterday and we were saying it's one of those things when you're going for a walk and then you see something that reminds you of that old person and it's like this, oh like
yeah,
that really guttural punch because no one really knows how to grieve or comprehend.
Or
what
like
happened.
You yeah. know, right before you go to sleep that you think about the most
yes, of course.
Anxiety inducing things you can think of and you're like, oh my god, what happened to this girl?
Or when I see like a friend of a friend or see them post on Instagram and I was like,
oh god. Or the worst is like if you're going to like a social gathering and you see someone that like knows them and you like get that chill down your spine and you're like, oh my god, is she here?
Yep. I know.
I'm gonna see her for the first time in 3 years or whatever.
I wouldn't even know how to confront it. It's crazy.
I know, it's so weird.
So we thought we'd read through some of the key ones. There's some pretty key themes, I think.
Yeah. Do you want to go through some of the main themes? So like we try to group them into themes because there's just so many different stories and we wanted to like go through some of them, maybe talk about them, give our, not our advice because no one's really asking us for advice, but our opinion on some of these topics.
Right.
Because they're pretty general. I think a lot of us, a lot of these breakups fall under one of these themes.
Yeah. It is crazy to see that they lump themselves. I did notice a lot of people saying they regret how they dumped their friend. They don't regret that they did it, but they regret how they did it.
Right.
Which I think makes so much sense because we're just not trained how to have these conversations. So basically a lot of friends ghosted.
Yeah.
People just kind of like abandoned them. And multiple people said like, I don't regret that I did this, but I do regret the way that I did it.
Oh, another thing is two people texted me after the episode. One of them said she was inspired by our episode to write her ex-best friend like goodbye letter.
Yeah.
She wasn't sure if she was going to send it, but it was like cathartic for her to just like put it all on
it's
paper.
It's always wild doing those letters because I've done one for my ex. I've done many for my ex and it's always wild because you don't think it's going to help. And then after you do it, it's like,
yeah, you feel stupid and then you're like, wait, I feel great.
And it works. And then every single time I write it with the intention of sending it and every single time after I write it, I'm like, I don't think I need to send this anymore.
Yeah. I asked her, I was like, oh my God, are you going to send it to her? She's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to send it, but it was just good to like write it.
Yeah.
And then I have another friend who messaged me that she also didn't, I mean, they had a falling out, but they never had a conversation. And she's like, I actually messaged her. I was like, we should talk.
Wow.
And I actually have to check in and see what happened. But at least she's like, I'm not sure if we're going to be friends again, but at least we can have like a final conversation to like have closure.
I think the closure is pretty key. It was interesting because multiple people did say they had official breakups. So we kind of had a split response, but some people said they literally wrote breakup letters. One girl said she wrote a breakup letter. One girl said she wrote multiple breakup letters to her friend, which I think is interesting because I've never actually been brave enough to do that. And then one girl said she had multiple like confrontational true breakups, you know, like we're like, I'm breaking up with you.
Multiple?
Yeah. But I mean, I get it because to be honest, like I've phased out so many people through the course of my life.
But it's like, what's worse? Like multiple people in your life being like, existential crisis. Let's break up.
Yeah.
Or someone just like growing apart.
To me, it depends how small your friendship group like is and how much you can. Because if you really don't want to be around someone, but you're forced to be around them all the time because of a small friendship group, like sometimes I think it is maybe worth saying something. Like we live in a world though, like I think for both of us, where I can phase someone and kind of move between.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I don't know. I think you should always be honest, but I also think it could be hurtful if it's someone that's not that close to you for you to be like, I don't like you anymore. We need to break up. Yeah. But it's a tricky situation. I think it's case by case.
Yeah.
But I just want to say a quick speaking of friendship, I think it's a fact, like a stat that you mentioned last time, which was it takes time, like 50 hours to go from acquaintance to casual friend.
Yeah.
50 hours is a lot.
Last time on the podcast, I definitely said it takes 500 hours to build a close friend, but it's actually 200 hours.
Oh, okay.
So it's not, I wasn't crazy wrong.
So 50 hours from acquaintance to casual friend, 90 hours to become a real friend, and 200 plus hours for a close friendship.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, this was probably written by a man. And
I mean, I think it makes sense. You have to put a lot of work into friendships for them to work. I mean, some friendships are low maintenance, sure. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, especially at the beginning, you have to put a lot of work.
Yeah. I also thought it was interesting because I was doing a bit of, as you know, we love to do a little research before we do the pod. And they talk a lot about weak tie friendships and how powerful they can be. I'm a big stranger energy person. Like, okay. I love to meet strangers.
Yeah.
I want to bond with a stranger next to me at the bar, and then I'm totally fine if I never see them again. But they talk about how important weak tie friendships are, but how oftentimes those are ones where they're super situational.
Right.
And so, like
maybe, someone you meet in school or something.
Well, someone you meet in school, maybe you're both going through a breakup at the same time.
Got
like,
it.
Maybe
you bond over that going through one experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you have some experience, and sometimes that travels over time. I think if you can prove values and you have other similarities beyond that, but sometimes I don't think it's worth discounting the power of those. It's important to have friends who are kind of, but I think a lot of friendship breakups come from people who have, you know, initially weak tie situational friendships and then are like, actually, this person does not make sense in other areas of my life.
I think that's why it happens in our friend group also. It's not that it happens a lot in our friend group, but I'm saying we're both like immigrants in a new country. Mm-hmm. So I think that automatically bonds you to people
fast. That's such a good example of it. Yeah.
But, and I think that's happened to me. I've met so many people that I'm like, oh, we vibe, we hit it off, but then like we kind of grow apart.
Yeah.
And I think that's not like necessarily like something they did something wrong. It's just like, you just realize as you get to another person, okay, yeah, maybe we're not, you know, meant to be close friends.
Yeah.
And I think that happens a lot when you move to a different country, because automatically you bond on this one specific like unique experience. But then maybe as you get to know each other, you realize actually we're very different people. I don't know if this is gonna work.
I mean, you can
out.
Have very different values.
Right.
I was thinking too how a lot of times with those types of situational friendships, when they go through life stages, you realize a value that you thought was a value was actually just a situational. Like, for example, if you're single and you become friends with another single person, you would become friends oftentimes because you're both, I don't know, very independent. But then when they get into a relationship, you realize some people, you're like, oh, they're actually not really independent. Like they just craved that type of thing. And then there's some friends who get into a relationship and are just as independent as before. And I think realizing what is a value versus what is just a symptom of a situation is interesting.
And I think that also happens when you meet them single, you've never met them in a relationship before. And you're,
oh, that's
you're,
so true.
They might be the kind of girl colors. That's just like, they just don't
you never
do
see them again
but hang out with. Yeah, that happens so much.
Or the girls who are like hey, yeah, we're coming. I'm like, we
we're
on our way, who's we?
Yes. Not a big fan of that, but I feel like that's happened to me a lot where like I meet someone who's single. I feel like I'm in a relationship, but I'm also very independent. Mm-hmm. Like I do a lot of things on my own. And I also feel like Paul has his own relationships with my friends. So like if I bring him to a party,
he can have his own conversations.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I mean, I feel that. He, I mean, obviously he likes, like, I feel like he's closer to some of my friends than others, but he can still like hang.
Mm-hmm,
But yeah. I think it depends on the person. I have, well, not anymore, but a lot of my friends in high school were like that, where it's like they were like down to do anything and then all of a sudden they will get a boyfriend and you never saw them again. And you're just like, a lot of them grew out of it, thank God.
Yeah.
But
I think it's really hard. I have a lot of respect for people who are able to maintain friends through different stages of life. Like I was talking to a friend the other day who some friends she stayed friends with once they had kids and some she didn't. And she was saying like, it's really such a value thing. Like they yeah. treated me like a whole person. They didn't look at me as lesser than because I didn't have a kid. They made time for both of our conversations. And I think I have so much respect for those kind of people because when you go through different, like I even think of my last relationship, I made a huge effort to basically come to a lot of things by myself. And even though I was doing long distance, which was hard to balance, I think you have to really prioritize it, which I think people who are in control of how they spend their time are some of the people I have the most respect for. Like managing your schedule and making time for the people you want to make time for is, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And it shows someone who has priorities. So ever since that, I have a lot of respect for it, but it's definitely easier said than done. I think you're very good at it though. I think,
I think it's a personality thing. Mm-hmm. Some people get into a relationship, that's their entire personality. Some people have a baby, that's their entire personality. It's like, I think that's just the way some people are. And mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think they're wrong or right. It's just not.
It's just who they are.
Doesn't align yeah. with who I am.
Yeah.
And that's the problem sometimes when you first meet people that you're like, you don't know how they're going to be in these situations until they're in that situation. But it's very interesting. The weak ties make sense. Because yeah. I think we see it a lot with the expat or immigrant groups that, you know, at the beginning, you have these groups of people that they do everything together. And then one of them gets married, has a kid, moves away, and then friendship over. Yep, so
I also think the notion of like how those life changes showcase, well, I should say we got a lot of DMs about people's different energy and people's different like personality traits that maybe don't show at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think those life situations, depending on what they are, also really showcase people at their worst or people with their most toxic traits. And I don't know. I think like, have you had friends that you like at the very beginning, you were really close and then like you went through a couple of things. And you're like, wow, like they respond to that in really tricky ways.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why my best friends have been my friends since at least 15 years. Cause we've already gone through all the, not all, but like a lot of like shit that you're like, okay, breakups, life changes, all this stuff. So you kind of see how they handle
it. They're kind of tested. Yeah.
But I think newer friends is always like you kind of have just to wait and see.
You know, it's so
also
hard.
People go through shit. Like people go through breakups that like we talked yeah. in our yeah, last yeah. episode, change your brain chemistry. And you have to be like, how can I be a good friend to these people? Like I know so she's hard. Like losing her mind right now and she's yeah. not acting right. But like, am I the judgmental friend that tells her, hey, you're acting crazy?
Yep.
Or am I the supportive friend? I'm like, yeah, girl, you're acting crazy, but go do it.
You know, I was looking up before we came today, like advice, like a kind of official advice about specifically this. Like, how do you identify things that are driving you crazy? And then how do you confront them if they are? And one of the biggest ones is recognizing if it's temporary, is it a one-off situation or is it a pattern? And that's one thing I really try to pay attention to now is giving friends grace to go through chaos periods. Because I was like, God knows I go through them often, but giving friends grace. But then also, one, is it a pattern that they're always going through it? And two, and we've talked about this a lot, but like, are they adapting their reactions? Like if they respond in a way that they say, they look back and say, man, I really didn't love who I was. Are they trying to take action? Are they going to therapy?
Are they conscious that yeah. they're going crazy?
Yeah. Like yeah. if they didn't treat their friends really well in their first relationship, then they get out and they say, I really didn't like that. The next time they get into a relationship, yeah. are they behaving differently? I think that's huge.
I agree. I think it's tricky because it's also like, how much time do you give someone?
Exactly.
There's a lot of like.
And what is a pattern and yeah. what is just like, yeah, do you give them two times? Or
exactly.
Yeah, I know.
I think ultimately it's like, you'll know like what feels right for you. But yeah, I try to be supportive at the beginning. And then at one point I'm going to be like, you're acting insane. Yeah. And we got to like.
Depends how draining.
Rein it in.
Yeah.
And it's also like, you know, you want the best for your friend. So when you see them act in a certain way, you're just like, I'm supposed to say something, right? In my opinion, a good friend says something when yeah. you're acting.
With your best like interest yourselves. In mind, not just like you're being fucking annoying, but more like, no, this is not like, serving either of us.
You know? You're doing this and this is how it's coming off. And I'm scared that this is going to happen. Instead of like, hey, you're doing this and it's annoying me.
Yeah.
Even though that's also valid. But I think it's more like you also have to have a solution for the person, not yeah. just like judgment.
The advice I saw online specifically towards this, which is pretty obvious, but they were of course saying make I statements. So talk about how it's affecting your energy versus saying like,
okay,
you are annoying, like you're right. going crazy. More like, I feel helpless when annoying. I'm around you. I feel you are annoying. I feel you are annoying me.
I feel you annoy me.
I do think that like saying though, like more, I think a lot of times what happens we've talked about this, but with friends, it can sometimes be hard where you feel ignored or invalidated if you keep giving your friend time and space to work through something and then they keep doing the opposite. Like, I feel ignored. I feel useless. I feel helpless. It's weird because it could come across as selfish, but I do think it's less accusatory. It's to say like that.
Self-preservation.
Yeah. And then they were saying, come at it with very, like a very specific ask. So, you know, I feel this, can we something? Like, know what you're coming to ask for versus just kind of posing the problem, which is interesting, you know?
I think we're all human, so it's difficult to follow the advice sometimes, but as long as you come at it with like good intentions, I don't know. I think you know your friends best and you know how they're going to react. Always be nice, because I think people feel like they're going to be attacked when you call them out on their behavior. But
you can tell if a friend's coming at it from a place of love and wanting to stay friends with you versus a friend.
But it doesn't matter when you're in like a weird spot in life. Everything feel like everyone's attacking you. Even if they're like, honey, sweetie, you're so great, but also like they'll feel like, why do you hate me? You know, like people, you know, like when you're going,
I would like to think I'm not that way, but maybe I am.
I don't think you are.
I think like I'm like, but it does take work.
But you're to get to a place. Extremely self-aware.
Well, to the point of maybe debilitation.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if someone ever pointed something out, like, hey, Gabby, I think this and that about you, you'd be like, yeah, I know. Like, I feel like it wouldn't be a shock. Whereas I think the people that normally get offended when you bring something up to the attention, they probably know it, but like subconsciously.
Yeah.
So when you bring it to the surface, it feels like an attack because they know it, but they just don't want to confront it.
And that's
the
worst feeling. Clearly I've been there too. I never forget in high school, I had this, or middle school, this girl. I like tease a lot. And there was this girl, and I can tease in a kind of a mean way, which I think is funny. And she said, she's like, you're so mean. And I'll never forget. It was definitely middle school. I must have been sixth grade, seventh grade. And it shocked me because I don't think of myself as an intentionally mean person, but my family is very sharp. So I just grew up with that form of teasing as kind of just like a form of how we are.
It's just like a different in personality.
Yeah. And I've been so sensitive about that truly ever since.
She shook you.
It shook me.
In the sixth grade.
I just was like, people are seeing
you.
She's
like, can you stop bullying me, please?
Isn't that crazy? I just think it's crazy to think of me like bullying.
No, yeah, I love a tease too. So, but I'm also like, I grew up in a Latin family. Like, oh, yeah, that's so how you show love, basically.
Yeah.
But it actually kind of goes perfectly. We can go through some of the themes of like the stories people submitted. And one of them is different expectations of what friendship means.
Yeah.
But also different energy. So like, let's go through the first one, like different expectations of what friendship means.
This came up a lot because it was a lot of, I expected them to do this and they did this.
Yes.
So very specifically, I went through a surgery. They didn't call me till a few weeks after, or my whatever died, my grandma, someone close to me died. They didn't call me till a few weeks after. And then we actually heard the other side too, which is someone would go through something and then they'd say, they were so mad at me because I didn't call them till 48 hours after their surgery versus 24 hours after their surgery. What do you think, like when you hear those, what is your first thought?
I mean, I think it depends on what the surgery is. How much did you communicate about this? Obviously,
that to me is the key. How much did you communicate?
Yeah.
Give them a chance?
Yeah. If you're like, I'm getting surgery and like, I'm so scared or whatever, then as a friend, I would be like, text me when you're out, or I would be in communication with someone. But I know some people are really weird about medical stuff and they are very closed off and they won't share these things. So again, it depends. I don't think calling someone 48 hours after surgery is necessarily like a bad thing, but like I said, it's like an expectation thing. Like, she expected you to call her, I don't know, 2 minutes after she was out.
This is impossible. This reminds me a lot of relationships, like romantic ones, because people set traps in relationships. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you literally do this thing where
I don't have the energy.
Oh, it's just people. And I, but to be fair, I've done this, which is, you know, like if he doesn't text within 36 hours, then he's done.
I think at the beginning, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I've been with Paul for so long. I know. Exhausting.
The key what they teach you, and like humans are really bad about this.
Yeah.
I think modern humans is asking for what they want and teaching people how they want to be treated to an extent. Obviously, you shouldn't be teaching a guy like me and my ex, like, I shouldn't be telling a guy I should text back within 10 hours. That's insane. But being able to say like, I would like this, or I think it's really vulnerable to do that, but I think you're not allowed to truly dispose of someone. This is my personal take.
I think it's definitely
until you've
very
been brave enough to express it.
Yeah, you know? It's very drastic for sure.
Yeah.
I think And if that really hurt your feelings, I think you need to communicate it. If you care about
like you
the
did
friendship.
With your friend, when you'd be like, the "Hey, breakup and they weren't there.
My feelings were very hurt that you waited 48 hours until you texted me or called me or whatever." Mm-hmm. And then if the friend says, "I'm so sorry, I thought you wanted your time," or whatever her response is, then I think you can. That could be a learning lesson.
Right. Like, gauge it.
But I think some people do it, and they're not meaning to be malicious. They're just like, you know, not thinking about, it's been two days.
People have been mad at me for this before. I'm sure.
Me too.
I'm sure I'm not the best with texting. I also tend to like wait. We just went through this when a friend had a hard time. I waited like 48 hours because I'm like, of course, I personally, this is what a big thing in relationships is I get very overwhelmed by texts.
Yeah.
So if I were going through a really hard time, my phone was going crazy, it would drive me crazy. So I project that expectation on the other person, which is what we do in relationships a lot. And I assume if I feel that way, they must feel that way.
Right.
So we try to act out of a way of empathy, but sometimes empathy gives us the wrong action.
I think it's expectations. And if your friend was really mad that you texted her 48 hours after or whatever, then she needs to be like, hey.
Right. Fair.
This pissed me off. Next time something happens, I want you to text me.
Maybe don't say, hey, this pissed me off.
Well, you know.
Hey, I feel. But the other one we got was energy. Big energy.
Was really interesting. Because I feel like that's very, like, of our generation.
Do you know, have you ever had a situation, like, how would you define an energy that doesn't work for you personally?
I feel that I have a very good, not judge of character, but when I meet someone,
you've talked about this,
almost immediately I can tell if we're gonna like hit it off or not.
So crazy. I'm not that way. I think I'm gonna get along with everyone when I meet them.
Like energies.
Really?
I don't know what it is. And like I specifically bad energy. Mm. Like there's been people that I've met and I'm like, oh,
off.
Mm-mm. This is not going
anywhere.
Have you
ever been shocked by? Have you ever thought? We maybe talked about this in the other app. I can't remember. But have you ever really thought that someone had a certain energy and then it flipped on you when they went through a specific experience?
For sure. Well, not necessarily like that, but I've definitely like been friends with someone, like Instagram friends for a little bit. And I'm like, we're not going to vibe. And then I meet them in person. They're like lovely and amazing. And we hit it off. So like the perception between like their social persona and their real persona. But yeah, vibes for me is something I can quickly find out. Like I can really know if we're going to hit. And it's not necessarily like the person's bad or not. It's just like energy differences. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm like a positive ray of sunshine, but I don't love people who when you meet them are like aggressive or rude or mean or like overly negative when you just meet them.
Yeah.
Like later down the road, fine. But like, first impressions. So that's one of, I think for me, one of the things I look for. Mm-hmm. Major turnoff. And I've never met someone that has given me that wrong impression at the beginning that then has proved me wrong.
Right. Okay.
In terms of like specifically rude, because, you know, we both work in like social PR worlds, like events, you meet a lot of people who are very like superficial. Mm-hmm. And so it's really easy to tell who's there to just, you know, use people or who's really there for like the picture and bullshit like that. Who really is there to like get to know you.
Yeah, make a connection.
So, or who like someone you, I hate, oh my God, I hate this. When you've met someone like two or three times before and then you see them or an event, at an event or something like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm like, you've met me
probably
three
me
times.
With my facial blindness. Side note, if anyone listening knows how to diagnose facial blindness, can you get in touch? Because I swear to God, I have a problem. No, I agree with that. I also been noticing a lot of, for me, it's a lot of like a lack of curiosity.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's energy, but it's kind of like a mix of a lack of curiosity plus a lack of, I don't know, ability to like see traits in themselves.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't want to say I hate on dating apps that every guy says, a girl who doesn't take herself seriously.
Right.
I take myself, by the way, very seriously, but I can still laugh, you know? And I think I want someone who can kind of like laugh at traits, be aware enough of them that they can interrogate them and then be curious about the person sitting across from them. And I've noticed as I go through life, the amount of people who are genuinely curious about the person across from them is smaller and smaller. So that's one that I'm learning to sense sooner. The other submission I thought was so, so, so interesting. This kind of came up. We're going to close with a really interesting submission that we got. But the one bullet that really, really stood out for me was people who can't celebrate other people's successes.
Yeah.
And that is one that I think is one of the most prevalent traits that is so off-putting.
Yeah.
And I notice it often comes from someone else. It's, I mean, very clearly someone else's own insecurity you know, they're insecure about their job, so they can't celebrate when you get a job. They're insecure about that they're single, so they can't celebrate when you're in a relationship. And I find this complicated because I obviously get it, you know, as someone who's like going through a weird, rocky time in life. I've been laid off. I've been broken up with, you know, I've had a bunch of that stuff, as a lot of us have. I understand sometimes, like, when you're feeling heartbroken, you don't want to be with around someone who's totally in love. But I think recognizing you have that feeling and just lightly removing yourself from situations that trigger you and knowing when you can show up and have the energy to be happy for your friends is so important. Yeah. I'm still working through that. I'm not great at it. But
I think that's like the most natural, weird feeling about being in a friendship with someone. When someone has something you want and like a part of you is happy for them, but a part of you, like, it's human nature to be like, not even jealous, but being like, fuck, why can't that be me?
Yeah.
That happens so much. And I don't think people are ever... people never discuss it because they would sound like a monster.
Right. Yes.
I'm never gonna forget. I was going through like a really shitty time at work. I had to lay off some people, and we were supposed to all have dinner with all our friends. And one of our friends in the group chat was like, "I just got a promotion. Let's celebrate." And obviously, I was happy for her.
Yeah.
Like, we work in different industries. Like, that doesn't affect me at all. But I remember being like, "I can't go to this dinner because I'm gonna be in a shitty mood because I just had to lay
but
people off."
I think
off.
That's a form of maturity to say, "You know what? I'm gonna like so happy for you. I'm gonna remove myself." Not you don't have to say that explicitly, but instead of showing up and making sassy little comments, you
no,
know,
exactly,
that's worse.
I didn't tell her personally, but I told another friend like, "Hey, so sorry, I'm not gonna make it today. I'm just like not in a good mood. I had to lay people off. I have to call people's hours. You know, work is really rough. And like, I know this other friend of ours is gonna celebrate that she got a promotion. I don't want to be like a little like black cloud over it. Because of course I'm happy for her. It doesn't affect me the fact that she got a promotion. But I'm just like, fuck. I'm going through a shitty time, and she's getting everything she wants. It's like, I think it's like a very human emotion to have, and I think we have them with all sort of things, like boyfriends, babies, promotions. Like, there's a lot of things that maybe we want and we're not getting at the moment, or we're having trouble with that specific thing. And I think it's super normal, and not necessarily to feel jealous, because I wasn't jealous of her. It was more like
kind of trigger, like, that's
yeah,
why
it's
I
kind
feel
of like,
it's like,
fuck.
It just like, it like stabs a little sword in the
yeah
wound.
And it's like, again, it's not a personal attack, it just feels that way.
No, of course. Yeah.
But I think that's super like a super
normal emotion
to have.
Too. Have you ever heard of the concept? Shout out to Sophie and also Flavia, who I've had this conversation with in the last couple of days. But both of them were talking with me about the notion of expanders. Have you ever heard of this before?
No.
I'm sure this is from, I think it might be from that program, To Be Magnetic. I'm not 100% sure. I need to look it up. But basically, it's the notion that there are people in our life who come into our life to teach us things. Like, they expand our view on the world. They expand what we view as possible. And a huge part of looking at certain people in situations like that is to remove envy. So to be able to look at someone who's, I don't know, coming into your life for a certain reason and saying, oh, they're expanding my version. Like, when I look at a really healthy couple, instead of being like, God, that's so unfair, why can't I have that? I want that to be, you know, they're expanding what is possible for me. They're showing me what I want.
There's other options.
And they're showing me there's options. And I've been thinking about it a lot because especially at about almost 35 years old, I'm really thinking of like, oh, so many people have things that I wish I had that I don't. But I'd rather look at that as knowing that that's a potential for me than looking at it as some sort of like lack, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that's the growth.
Yeah.
I think it's normal to feel the emotion of being like, why not me? Or like even jealousy or whatever, when your friend gets something that maybe you want. But I think, like you said, it's like, how do you respond long term? Mm-hmm. Are you going to like hate this friend because she's getting something
long term too? Like,
yeah.
Are
you can't go crazy. Yeah. You can't compare yourself to people all the time. But I think it's also, again, something very normal to feel these, like, not jealousy, but almost like, fuck, why is she getting this?
I
wanted it too.
It's always me around couples. I'm like, why does no one pick me? And then I'm like, okay, all right, Gav, go back to child wounds.
No, but I think, it's like, again, I think it's super normal to feel these things. And I think you can even feel like shit for a whole day or a week or whatever. But then it's like long term, what are you going to do about
right,
it?
Right, yeah.
And the last theme before we close out is a friendship breakup, when the friend is obviously sort of in the wrong when the friend keeps making a mistake and you keep telling the friend, hey, you're making a mistake, and she doesn't, or he doesn't see it or doesn't change their behavior.
We talked about this a bit on the original episode. Yeah.
But we got specifically, we got two stories where, like, I would say the other friend was clearly in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was the other girl was the girl that the girl's boyfriend cheated on her. So obviously she was the other
that's
woman.
That's a rough one.
So that's like, yeah, that friendship
that's
over.
One I don't know if you need to gently approach that one.
That one's like, well, you should break up with her. But the other one was a little more nuanced, and I don't have it in front of me because the message disappeared somehow. But she had sent me, I think it was like, I don't know, 7 paragraphs long. It was like a fucking show. I was like, someone turned this into a show. But essentially the essence of it was they had a friend who constantly kept making bad choices with regarding a man. I think at one point she cheated on her husband with this man, left her husband for the man. The man maybe cheated on her, basically made her move across the country. It was not a good relationship. Like, all her friends could tell it was like a toxic relationship, and this man was like controlling her and doing whatever he wanted with her, made her do questionable things like cheating on her husband, leaving her husband, moving across the country. I think she didn't even tell her friends she was gonna move. She just like 3 days before, she's like, by the way, I'm moving. Woof. So it's like, again, here's a story where the friend kept on making questionable choices. Mm-hmm. And the friend group, because it wasn't just her, she was telling me, the friend group was like, hello, what is going on? This is not normal. And then ultimately, it ended up having a baby with this man. God. Didn't tell anyone.
This is how you know stuff is toxic, is people do it in secret. This is the biggest thing I've learned.
Exactly.
It's like, you'll find out after someone does it.
But that's, I think, a perfect example of like, a friend of yours making bad choice after bad choice, and the friend group being like, hey, you're making a bad choice. What's going on? Yeah. And ultimately she cut them off.
Really?
Yes, because when she moved cross country, because the friends were voicing their concern about like, this man is maybe not the best for you.
This kind of
are
like
you
going
to leave everything you
about.
Know behind? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And I think it came to a point where like, he probably also was in her ear being like, don't listen to your friends.
Creepy.
And now this woman moved cross country, is still with him, had a baby, and has no contact with her friend group.
It makes me sad for her because she lost her entire like source of sanity. I always think about those situations because I've clearly been there. Sometimes I wonder if I've been that friend, but who knows? And I clearly been there, and I'm always trying to tell myself, why is this bothering me so much? It's not my life. Like, I really shouldn't be that upset about it.
Well, because you care about your friend. And to me, I've been...
And it can be exhausting.
I've been the friend that was ghosted because I kept on calling out bad behavior. But then it's like, okay, so what do I do? Do I just let you make all these bad choices and pretend like this is all normal? And
it's
so
hard.
I think
there's no really right answer. And I think some people say like, well, if it's truly an abusive relationship, you have to learn how to be gentle with them so they don't cut you out. There's so many nuances, but I agree. I think it's exhausting. I also think we've talked about this. It's tiring to give your friend advice over and over, or not even advice, like hold space for them to ramble about something. And then, you know, you can do that for so long, but at a certain point you just feel like, am I a wall that you're speaking to? Yeah. Like, do you care about my reactions, my opinions, my time, my energy at all? If you keep doing the same thing,
that's what I'm saying. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to be the friend, the critical friend, because I think if you're going to be a good friend, you need to call them out on their behavior. Yeah.
That's also your expectation for friendship. Maybe some people have like I don't know.
But I would think if I was doing something crazy like that, my friends would be like, hey, this is not normal. Are you okay?
But you'd have to be in a place to listen.
Of course. Yeah. But that's the thing. She wasn't. And then instead of listening, she cut her entire friend group off.
Sad. Dangerous.
So it's very sad. But we'll close out with this. We had someone send us like a whole checklist.
Honestly, I have so much respect for this person.
No, it was great. I loved it.
Whoever was listening, I was really impressed by everyone. Doing this podcast has been such an interesting experience because you don't always have these conversations day to day, and you realize just how many people are going through any given thing at any given time. Yep. You know? Just we're all dealing with it. But yeah, I was really impressed by this person who DM'd.
I'm trying to find her handle right now so we can.
Maybe we shouldn't share. I don't know.
Okay, maybe we shouldn't share it just in case.
I'm just always debating how much people want.
We'll send you a DM to let you know.
We're just like exposing everyone. We're probably causing so much drama by mentioning names. But yeah, Danny got the DM, so Danny, I'll let you start. But basically, it was a checklist they made for how they kind of do a health check, which I loved the way they described that, a health check of how the friendship is working in their life. And I thought it's a good way to wrap up.
So first, in the prompt that I said, like, have you ever gone through a friendship breakup? She answered, after engaging with not the most supportive community and toxic relationships, I started to practice this health check with every person in my life. I ask myself these questions. How do I feel about spending time with them? Energized or drained?
Huge.
How does this friendship affect my self-esteem? Do I feel valued or criticized? can I be myself around them, or do I feel judged and have to act differently?
That one's so meaningful because I've been noticing a lot of times I'll leave and I'll be like, why do I hate myself right now? I'll leave like an interaction and be like, I'm gross, needy, disgusting, lame, never done anything with my life. And I have this self-talk now of being like, that's not about me, that's about them. Like, this they wanted me to feel that
this
way.
This is you being too self-aware. Then she goes on to say, do they celebrate my successes, or do they downplay or compete with me? This is
huge
toxic for me. Like, this is
toxic.
Like,
I agree.
If you say my friend doesn't celebrate my successes or downplay or compete especially, I think the worst trait a person can have is to be a one-upper. If you're a one-upper, we'll never be friends. I can't.
Yeah, I know that trait. So it's very much that. Like, yeah, me too. Well, I.
Or people who name drop, where you're I'm going to the south of France. Oh, well, I worked with this hotel, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Just tell me it's going to be great.
We're too old, and we're too tired.
Yeah. Then how do they handle conflicts with me? Can I talk openly, or do they always blame me?
God, this is such a romantic relationship, the one too. Like, are they always like, I always think of those guys who, when you break up an issue and they turn around and say, well, if you hadn't.
Right. Oh, that's like horrible. Every reality star.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Because they're all toxic. Ugh. Which is why they're reality stars.
The worst.
Oh my God. We can talk about this some the other time, but I just started watching The Valley, and this is Jax Taylor.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. This man, like, basically almost like domestic abused his wife. Ugh. And he's like, well,
you asked for it, I'm sure.
Well, no, he said, what man wouldn't react that way? Because he basically found out his wife, who they were separated at the time, was having sex with one of his friends, which is like, okay, maybe not the nicest, but whatever, he's done worse. And his reaction when the people were like, well, but you can't just, because he flipped the table, and he's like, well, you can't. Like,
God, why are people out here flipping tables? Is that like something
he flipped the table and it hit her?
Oh, Jesus.
And so people were like, that's like bad. Borderline. And he's like, well, show me a man who wouldn't react that way. And I'm like, I could show
you. What do you want to pat? I was going to say, you want to pat on the back because you're masculine?
Anyway, that reminds me of like someone who would always blame the other person. Yeah. Anyway, is this friendship reciprocal, or do they only reach out when they need something? This is a big one. I feel like we talked about this a lot of time.
Yeah. I'm the queen of one way. Sorry, it was. I'm trying to work my way out of it. I'm the queen of showing up and having someone talk at me for 2 hours. I don't know what energy I give off, but it's like doormat energy. It's like unreal.
You have therapy energy.
Oh my God.
You're like, tell me all your problems. And then the last one is, do their problems become my burden? Do they manipulate me with guilt?
That's wild. That's also a big relationship one too, I think. Yeah. Like a romantic relationship. Yeah.
So I think this checklist is
God, I mean, this person is so incredible. Yeah. I'm actually going to save this and think about this a lot. This takes a lot of self-awareness, but this is exactly kind of the core of what we're trying to get at, you know?
Yeah. I thought it was very interesting. I think this is more interesting to go through the checklist when you're having issues with someone, with a friend, I think, because you're not going to go through this checklist when you just met someone. I think when you're having issues with someone and be like,
is this like, basically this is kind of like, is this worth keeping up with?
Exactly.
You know, this should be like a Cosmo. This should be a BuzzFeed quiz, Danny. You should write this into a quiz. Like, if yes, then this.
Oh my God. I wish I had access to that CMS. That was so fun.
Well, anyway. Everyone, thank you for coming as usual for a mini ep. It's still like 40 minutes long, but that's okay.
It's mini
for us. But yeah, DM us if you have any more thoughts on this. And if there's other topics you feel ashamed about that you want us to do.
I'm going to say this, Gabby's going to kill me, but we're going to start having guests on. Uh-huh. If there's anyone you would like to hear about.
Because of the audio.
Yeah.
I was like, Gabby's like, barely get our audio set up today.
But no, if there's anyone you want to hear from, or like if there's a person, specifically someone based in Paris, preferably, you want to hear about this topic or any other topics, just shoot us a DM and we'll consider it, or we'll be happy to
We'll try to have our producer get them on the pod.
I know. Our producer, a.k.a. Gabby.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Thanks, guys. Bye.
This was Clashes,
a podcast brought to you by two idiots.
Clearly. I don't know if I can laugh on cue.